This morning, as we continue with our series, Love Covers, I want to finish with the final three characteristics that we've been looking at over the last several weeks in 1 Corinthians 13 of the Bible. You don't need to turn there, but there's three final characteristics that I want to just touch on this morning, and then we can continue with this series. And these are the three. Love never loses faith. It all is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And love will last forever. In other words, love never fails. So the first one this morning, as we touch on those final three characteristics, love never loses faith. That means it believes all things. So let's go this morning to Romans chapter 8. Paul has something to say about this. Romans chapter 8. Well, while you're turning there, the characteristics of love, they're like gauges in a car's dashboard. I want you to think about that. You've got the gauges of a car's dashboard. You know, are you full or empty? Are you running rough or smooth, lean or rich? So if something's not working right in your life, check your love gauge first. That's what these characteristics are. So, you know, they're gauges that present themselves. Are we tracking well or are we not tracking well? So if something's not going right in your life, spiritually speaking, the first place you and I need to look is our love walk. Are our gauges pointing in the right direction? Very important. This is probably one of the most important series this church will ever be a part of, because this is the foundation for successful Christian living. If our love walk is not according to the Word of God, everything else is skewed. We've got to get this right. And by the grace of God and by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can. And we will. So, look at with me at Romans 8, verse 33 to verse 39. Paul speaking, he wrote this letter to the church in Rome. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Question. It is God that justifies. In other words, it's God that gives us right standing with Him. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yes, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I love that about the scripture. Jesus isn't just sitting, waiting. He's constantly interceding for us. So never say something like, well, no one prays for me. You've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords praying for you continually. You're in good hands. God's for us. Let the Word, you know, be our basis for believing. Okay? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Now, if anyone could ask that question, Paul could, because he suffered all those things. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. As long as Paul was preaching the gospel of grace, he was going to come under attack, persecution, press from the satanic realm. And the devil stirs up people to do it. So while Paul preached truth and not the law, he came under intense persecution. If we preach the law, I can tell you right now, the devil's very happy with that. Because if we just preach, you can't do this and you shouldn't do that and you must and you would and you will and you won't, then that's what the Israelites endured, and it didn't help them and it won't help the church of Jesus Christ today. We've got to preach the love and mercy and grace of God. And when you walk in that, you won't have any desire to sin. Because the only thing that's going to keep you and me out of the sin path is the grace of God. And I love what David said in Psalm 119, verse 11. I've hid your word in my heart that I will not sin against you. Hide the word in your heart, people. That's the great antidote for that sin nature which has been removed, but sometimes it wants to raise its ugly head. Look at verse 37. He says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That means we gain a decisive victory. To be more than a conqueror is to gain a decisive victory. Not just a victory, a decisive victory. A decisive victory. Verse 38. For I am persuaded. That means he is convinced. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that's what the word said, that's it. If you don't feel very much loved by God at the moment, then you need to get your feelings to adjust to truth. Because he says, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can. Now, we can walk from God. We can go cold on him. But he's not going to go cold on us. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That word separate, it means to divide or place room between. We don't want the enemy to drive a wedge between us and a relationship with God. He tries. And in some cases, he succeeds. Because people listen to his lies. He does a hit job on people through the mind realm. But you've got to cast down those imaginations and those high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, this, and you bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So if the word says nothing can separate us from the love of God, nothing can. Nothing will. Thank you, Father God. Nothing can separate me from you and your love. That's it. Your feelings will come into line when you declare words of faith. Now remember, we're saying here, love never loses faith. It believes all things. And that means because love trusts. Love trusts. Why? We're trusting in a God that can't fail us. We're trusting in a God that so loved the world, he gave his son for us. That's why love believes all things and love never loses faith. Go forward to 1 John. Let's take that a little bit further. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. I want to read from verse 3 to verse 5. You know, we are more than conquerors, Paul said. More than conquerors. We have a decisive victory. Well, this is what John says. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, well, there's two witnesses. You've got Paul and now you've got John. Look what John says. Verse 3. For this is the love of God. Now, isn't that interesting? This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. That means they're not burdensome. So the love of God is to keep his commandments. If we do what he says, we're showing that we love God. But he says this. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we're overcomers. We're overcomers. If we're born of God, we've overcome the world. We're not in a process of overcoming. We are overcomers. So often, precious Christians struggle with the idea that they're actually the victorious ones. They're the ones that are actually seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and they're the ones that actually have the heel on the snake's head. It's not the other way around. The devil doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over him if you're willing to exercise it. But if you don't, he'll hold you in bondage. And you can cry out to God all day and all night. All day and all night. And he says, this is the love that we obey, his commandment. Now, we're going to get into this over the next couple of weeks. The great commandment is love. If the love walk's not right, your faith has got a problem. And we'll get into that too. Faith and love are so intrinsically linked that if we understood the impact of getting out of love on your faith, you wouldn't bother praying to God because you won't get an answer. Not maybe, you won't. Faith is shut down when love is not in operation. And we'll show that in the word shortly as well. So love never loses faith. Love never loses faith. It believes all things. And then have a look at 2 Timothy. Just go back a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul says this. Hallelujah. I love the way Paul writes. Such a passion for the things of God. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 11. And he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And what he was saying to Timothy, he wrote this letter to Timothy, and he's saying, you know, don't be ashamed of the gospel or me and my bonds. In other words, Paul's in prison. He said, don't be ashamed of it. He says, it's all good. Just keep doing what you know to do. Don't be ashamed of it. Then he goes on to say this, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, and nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded, or I'm convinced, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He says, hold on to these sound words, not just in faith, in faith and love. In faith and love. So Paul's saying, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of your Jesus. Don't be ashamed of this gospel. You know, when people out there don't want to know much about what you believe, that's okay. But when the opportunity arises for you to share your faith and the Holy Spirit prompts you, never be ashamed of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Never be ashamed of it. The world couldn't care less, but we do, because God loves us and he wants us to be that beacon of light to the world. Now, I want to move to the next one. Love always is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Have a look at 2 Timothy, or you're in there. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, just over the page. Again, Paul said this, and he's now talking about some of the challenges that he's faced in his ministry. And of course, when he talks about these different locations, you'll find all this in the book of Acts, chapter 13 and chapter 14, what he's about to say. It's all recorded in the book of Acts 13 and 14. And he says this in verse 10 to Timothy, but you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Which persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Remember, Paul said three times, I said, Lord, you know, take this from me. Three times, this thorn in the flesh. I'm convinced that's what he's referring to. Those three locations where he came under enormous persecution in his ministry. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Three times he cried out to the Lord, and God's response, my grace is sufficient for you. When you're weak, I'm strong. My strength is perfected in your weakness. We don't always want to be weak. It's not nice and comfortable when you haven't got control over situations, but that's where God is most powerful in our lives, when we can't. That's when faith kicks in, and that's when faith is able to do what we can't possibly do. So, you know, Paul's saying, you've known all these things. See, he's saying he's always, love's always hopeful and it endures. He says, I endured all these things. And I'm not talking just a few weeks here. You know, Paul's ministry over the life of his ministry came under constant demonic attack. Constant. He was imprisoned, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked. You know, Paul endured. Why? Because he knew who he believed. I know in whom I have believed. I just don't believe. I know him. Do we? Do we know him? The one that says, I love you. The one that says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do we know him? Or is it just, you know, I know God loves me. But do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him that's so intimate that it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, God's got it. God has our back. Of course he does. He's our father. A good, good father looks after his children. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Paul knew this. Paul endured because God's grace was sufficient for him. That means to deliver or to rescue him. Have a look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34:19. going to be moving pretty quickly on these things this morning. I want to get through a fair bit. Psalm 34, 19. Hallelujah. And it says this. Many are the afflictions of the who? The righteous. Are we righteous? People don't want to hear that sometimes. What do you mean many are the afflictions of the righteous? We're the righteous. We shouldn't have afflictions. It doesn't work that way. Now, the reason why it doesn't work that way is you're not in heaven yet. Because in heaven, there's no sickness, no disease, there's no crying, there's no sorrow, there's no tears. But we're in the earth. We're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in this fallen system. That's why there's affliction, because the ruler of this fallen system is the devil. But we're not under his control unless we choose to be. So he says, many of the afflictions are righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. How does the Lord deliver us? Well, when we make declarations of faith that he's for us and he's not against us, that we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. You often hear me say this, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, he's my fortress, he's my God, and in him will I trust. Are we saying it? Are we declaring that you're my God? I trust in you. You've got my back. Thank you, Father God. If we're declaring it, it's ours. That's the way the kingdom works. Not religious fluff. It's about faith in God's word. Putting faith before what you feel, what someone says, what your mind's trying to tell you. Because you've got to remember, the only thing that the devil's going to put in your mind is, did God really say? That's what he's going to start with, because he wants to get you to get off this truth. So he's going to plant it. Well, did God really say that? Did he really mean that? Does God really care about you? Well, of course he cares about us. He loves us with an enduring love. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord delivers us out of them all. And of course, you don't need to turn there, but Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So it always, faith or love, sorry, is always hopeful and endures. Paul endured because he trusted God. Why? He put faith and hope in the one he trusted. See, faith always endures. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what we can't see. So we don't need natural evidence. All we need is the evidence of what God said. That's the evidence. That's where our faith is. And now hope anchors us. It anchors us to that place where we say, thank you, Father. It's done in Jesus' name. So it never loses faith. It's always hopeful and it always endures. This is love. These are the characteristics of love. And the last one, of course, this morning, before we move in to the next part of it, is love will last forever. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and 8, 13. So 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8 had those three points in it. And it says love lasts forever, which means it never fails because God cannot fail. God cannot fail. God's eternal. Therefore, love is eternal. So have a look at 1 John 4, 1 John 4, very quickly. Love can't fail. God is love. Everything about God is love. It's love personified. God is the expression of love. So if we want to love like him, then follow Jesus. Look at the life of Jesus. Look at the amazing life that he lived. He says, I only say what my Father says. I only do what I see him do. Wow. If we confined our words to what the Word of God says, we'd be transformed human beings. We're all on a journey with that, me included. But if we were to confine the words that we speak to what the Father says, because that's the way Jesus lived his life. That's why there was power in his ministry. And the power you see in the ministry of Jesus is because he never came out of the love walk, ever. That's where the power was. The moment you come out of the love walk, the power was reduced. Every time. Because faith works by love. We'll have a look at that. But have a look at 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, and I want to read from verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. I want you to let that settle in for a minute. He that loves not doesn't know God. Now, I'm not talking about natural phileo love. This is the agape love, or some say agape. This is the God kind of love, because it goes on to say this, for God is love. Say it again. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So the reason why love will last forever, or love won't fail, is because God can't fail. God can't fail. If you stay connected to the one that can't fail, you won't fail. That's how it works. So I want to stay connected to God. All right. And that word, you know, enduring, always hopes and it always endures. Well, that means to bear by being under. To bear something by being under. It's a thing placed on one's shoulder. So, you know, love allows us to carry burdens and to endure as long as it takes. When we've done all to stand, the Bible says we're to stand. Well, how long do we stand? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. But if you're willing to stand forever, it won't take long. We stand as long as it takes. But we can stand because we have enduring love on the inside of us, which we're about to have a look at now. So I want to recap on something. These are the characteristics. Remember, this is the dashboard in your spiritual motor vehicle. This is the dashboard, and these are the gauges that we're now looking at. The characteristics of love. Love is patient. It's kind. It's never jealous or never envious. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It's not provoked easily to anger. It keeps no record of being wronged. Wow. How important is that? Does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance, and love will last forever. They're the spiritual gauges that we need to check daily to see that we're walking in this love that God talks about. Question this morning. How are we able to love this way? The answer, the grace of God. Now, let's take this forward. We've laid the foundation. It's taken 4 weeks to lay the foundation, but let's now move forward in this series about love covers. Remember, faith takes what grace has made available. It's the faith that takes the grace of God. Grace is always available to the church, but it doesn't come to earth without faith. It's in heaven for us, it's available for us at any stage, but it's the faith that takes the grace. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this morning. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5, reading from verse 1 through to 8. Now, what we're going to see here is what God has done for us that gives us the ability to do exactly what we've just read about, to walk in this victory. Reading with me from verse 1 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So because we've been made right with God, we have peace. Peace should be ruling in our hearts continually because we've been made right with God. By whom also we have access by faith to the grace. There it is. We have access by faith to the grace. By faith, we access the grace of God. Okay. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope. And that word experience is character. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And now that verse 5 in the New Living Translation says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loved us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. When you said yes to Jesus, an old sin nature was removed, correct? We agree with that? What was replaced? the Spirit of God, correct? Well, if it's a Spirit of God, that means it must be a love spirit. It has to be a love spirit because God is love. So when that old sin nature was removed, it was replaced with the Spirit of God. The love of God now fills you on the inside. Whether or not you express that is for you and for me if we're willing to walk in the commandments of God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. So we've had the old nature changed and replaced with a new nature. It's a love nature. It's the God nature. That's why we can do this. We can walk in love according to the characteristics that are described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. Any idea that we can't love like that, that's a lie. It's a deception. The enemy doesn't want you to think you can love like that, but you can love like that because that's the faith way. That's the kingdom way. That's the God way. He wants you to tap into what's on the inside of you. You know, it's the power that works in us. It's the power that's working in us right now that enables us to walk this walk of faith. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, at just the right time, he died. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us. Or God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. God's love has been placed in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Grace enables us to love. It's the grace of God that enables us to love, which in turn empowers faith. And we're going to have a look at that in a moment. Because both have to be operating together. Faith and grace have to work together. And you often hear me talk about that description. You've got grace in heaven and we have to punch in the pipe of faith to connect. So faith is what connects to the heavenly grace and grace flows to the earth. You know, Jesus showed that in his earthly ministry. And of course, God spoke to Paul and said, my grace is sufficient. You're in a hard place. I get it. I'm hearing you. But my grace is enabling for you. It will enable you to do what you need to do. My grace is sufficient for you. Yes, you're weak, but my grace will make you strong. And in your weak place, you know, my strength is perfected in you. That's how the kingdom works. It's opposite to natural. What do you think about this? And all of us, you know, have experienced this. We are trying to love in situations with a natural love when only a spiritual love is going to give you the breakthrough. We're trying to resolve things in a sort of a natural sort of, you know, soulish mind thought process, saying, well, you know, I need to do this and maybe I can adjust it. Maybe I can change my, but we have to love from the heart first. And that's an unconditional love. So people that may have done us wrong or people that are hard to be around, difficult people, how do you connect with them in a way that's loving? First, you make a decision to love them. It's a choice of the heart. Father, I choose to love because you said love. And you said love never fails. So I'm choosing to love. Then speak it out every day. Father, I love that person. Don't talk about what they did. Talk about what God did. Talk about the victory that overcomes the world, your faith. So Father, I declare that. I declare my love for that person right now in Jesus' name. Keep saying it every single day. Watch what happens to your heart. Your heart changes because your heart now takes on that thing that you're speaking, you start loving that person. And now God can then use you and connect you. When you haven't got to that place where the love of God is operating in maturity in your life, he'll probably distance you because he doesn't want us to damage people. He wants us to be sheep, not wolves. He wants us to be sheep, harmless, not going to hurt anyone. Wolves attack, wolves are vicious, but not sheep. You know, if we haven't got that right, sometimes we just have to stay removed until we do have it right because we do more damage trying to resolve it in our natural than if we do in the spiritual. But what is Paul telling us here? God's love has been placed in our heart. I want to read it again, the New Living. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loved us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. The Holy Spirit to fill our hearts, or our spirit man, that inner man, with his love. So we have that. So with that in mind, have a look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Understand when Paul wrote his letters. Now, Paul wrote his letters with the understanding that the law could never, ever give them victory. Whether it be Israelites or the Gentiles, he knew that the law would never produce the victory that God had intended for his children. So he had to work with the people to change their understanding, because they wanted to do it in their own ability and in the flesh. You can't do it. You know, we talk about on Thursday at the moment, we're talking about the grace of God on the Thursday night Bible studies, and we're talking about on Thursday Israel and how much they struggled, because all they saw themselves as slaves. They just saw themselves as slaves, not sons and daughters. They acted like slaves, that they couldn't put trust in God, because all they knew was bondage and slavery, and all they wanted to do was grumble and complain and go back into slavery, because that's all they knew. They felt comfortable in bondage. How sad. We're not to feel comfortable in bondage. We should feel at peace in freedom, because he's given us the freedom. He doesn't want us to go back to slavery. You know, he doesn't want us to perform for him. God never wanted his children to perform. He wants us to work with him, not for him. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. There's a big difference. He doesn't want us to perform. Only one performance, and you've heard me say this many times, that will ever count in eternity. And what was that? It was Calvary's cross. It was redemption. We never dumb down redemption. It's the most powerful thing that ever took place in this earth. More powerful than Adam's sin, which separated man from God. The redemption brought man back into right standing with God. Redemption brought the blessing back in, so we can now, you know, take a hold of that and work with that and walk in it. Redemption's everything. Everything. And the reason why, you know, we don't look at it lightly is because it cost God his best, did it not? It cost him his son. Cost him everything. He was willing to give everything up so that we could have freedom. But how many of God's precious people today are walking in that freedom? How many understand that this book is a book of covenants? This is promises, exceeding great and precious promises, you know, for those that are willing to believe and walk in them. How many believe that? How many understand that? How many know that God doesn't want us to walk defeated lives, because we're already in victory? Amen. And the victory is a spiritual victory. And that's the great victory. And out of that spiritual victory comes order in our natural lives. God will prosper us in every area of our lives. Now, people think, oh, prosperity, you're talking money. Money's low on the pecking order. I'd rather prosperity in mind and body and relationships. You know, having a loving church family that don't bicker and carry on because they walk in the love of God. That's prosperity. You know, God will meet our needs. Of course he will. And I encourage people to follow the principles in the Bible. But true prosperity, do you go to bed at night with peace in your heart? Because if you don't, you haven't got prosperity in the kingdom. I go to bed at night with peace. And I go to bed at night with peace because I choose to believe this book. I choose to believe what this book says. He's given me peace. He's given me rest. He's given it to me. I don't need to beg him for it. I have rest in him because faith operates continually. I don't turn it off during the day. I keep it on all the time. You've got to keep faith on all the time. Keep declaring things all the time. Because the enemy is constantly at play, people. Constantly. Believe me, I can tell you. He's constantly at play because he doesn't want this gospel preached. He doesn't want this liberating word preached, because he doesn't want you to leave here at the end of this service and be the same that you were when you came in. He wants you to walk away maturing in the things of God, so that you walk away thinking, you know what? I am an overcomer. I actually can do that. We can put our faith in God. We have got liberty and victory. We don't have to go back to, you know, to bondage like the Egyptians. We are going forward. We're not going backwards. That's all choice. It's all about choice. Are we willing to walk in this victory? Now have a look at Ephesians. So Galatians. I said Galatians, didn't I? Galatians 5. I want to read from verse 1. Look what Paul says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's he saying? Don't go back under legalism. You know, stand in the freedom that you've got. Don't go back into bondage of the law. Because the moment you do that, you're going to have to live under all its dictates. We're not to do it, just like he told the Galatian church not to do it. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, what was circumcision? Circumcision was an outward expression of a blood covenant. That's what he's saying. Well, if you're circumcised, God profits you nothing. For I testify to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law. So whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, all that was a natural expression of a blood covenant. Well, there's a new covenant now. It's a new covenant. And who shed his blood for that covenant? Jesus. It was a covenant between God and God. I want you to think about that. Not God and man, not God and Moses, not God and Noah, not God and Adam. This was a covenant that couldn't fail, can never fail. It's eternal because God struck it with God. God Father, God Son. Unbreakable, eternal. That's the covenant that we have. That's why we can walk in the victory, because the covenant can't fail. God's covenant will never fail. We can, but his covenant will never, ever fail. Look at this. I'll read verse 3 again. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. So if you're relying on an old covenant, you know, method to be right with God, you're going to have to fulfill all the requirements of the law. 613 of them. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Verse 4, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. So what he's saying is, if you want to keep going back to the old ways, well then, the effort, all your effort is wasted. Christ of no effect because you've fallen from grace. Now that takes on a whole new meaning of being falling from grace. Usually we understand someone falling from grace, someone who's done something that brings shame or guilt or condemnation, they're running well, then they fell from grace. But that's not what the Bible says falling from grace. Falling from grace is when you and I get out of faith and we want to go back to doing things under our own effort, performance. That's falling from grace. So, oh Lord, now I need to sort this out myself. You know, this is an issue and I need to deal with it. Well, you're now in effort, self-righteous effort. You've fallen from grace. That's what falling from grace is. So if we go back to the law, we've fallen from grace. We don't want to do that. We want to walk in the grace of God, because the grace of God is where love resides, and love empowers us to walk this Christian walk. So, and of course, verse 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. Faith works by love. So, in the Amplified Classic, that verse 6, it says this: for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. Activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. Activated, energized, and expressed and working through love. That's how faith works. If our love's not working, your faith's not working. Don't come up for prayer If your faith's not working, you're not going to have a receiver at this end. This is serious. If you've been somebody that's constantly had prayer over your life and you've seen no results, my first question would be this: check your love walk. If you're not receiving from the Word of God says, you know, people will pray, they'll lay hands on you and you'll recover. If something's not right, if you're not getting what the Word says, the first place we need to look is check the gauges. Check your love gauges. See, is there something that I'm not doing or I'm out of sorts with that's impacting my faith walk? First place for all of us. Now, sometimes we don't want to hear that. But if love is not ruling the Christian, then faith isn't energized. It's not activated and it's not empowered. But we want faith to be activated, energized, and empowered because faith gets us a long way in this walk. Amen? And if you study, you know, if you study Hebrews 11, you know, by faith God did this, and by faith Moses, by faith Abraham, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, these great men and women of God did things. By faith, Rahab, they did it by faith. Now, for them to do that by faith, there had to be, you know, something going right on the inside of them. I'm not saying they were all perfect. None of us are. But we want, because we've got the love of God in us, people. That's why love covers. If we've got the love of God on the inside of us, love definitely will cover. Absolutely. So, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. We are never justified by the law. Meeting legal requirements doesn't enable or empower us. That's the problem with the law. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, it says that we have not been given the spirit of fear. Is that correct? But a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We've been given a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind or self-control. So we haven't been given a spirit, again, to fear. That's a spirit of bondage. But we've been given a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we haven't been given a spirit of bondage again to fear. That's not the spirit that we're of. Our spirit has set us free. We're liberated because we've now got God's love completely empowering us to walk a faith walk. Wow. Faith simply won't work without the God kind of love. I'm going to say it again. Faith simply won't work without the God kind of love. Faith is produced in the heart of man where love resides. It's in the inner man. It's not from the soul realm. You don't build your faith up in your head. Don't read the Bible like a book. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and revelation knowledge so you can receive it in your spirit, because we want to get the word down into the heart. See, this word is a sword of the Spirit. It's the two-edged sword of the Spirit. Now, I've said this many times before, but it's only a sword of the Spirit when you meditate on that word. You get that word down into your heart by faith, and then you speak it out your mouth in faith, then it's a two-edged sword. This book on your mantelpiece at home is a book. If it's not in your heart, it's as dead as the book is. But when the book, the words, the living word of God, the eternal living word of God is in your spirit. It's planted, it's seed in your heart. And when you need to speak it out by faith, now the sword of the Spirit is operating. And it will do exactly what it's meant to do. So, faith is produced in the heart of man where love resides. Love is the engine room of faith because love activates faith. It's the engine room. So you've got the dashboard gauges in your car. You've got all those different expressions, you know, of the characteristics of love, all your gauges, you know. Are you running empty? Are you too lean? Are you too rich? What's going on? And then the engine is what drives faith. Love's the engine. Now, sometimes we can have it in neutral and we're revving, but we're not going anywhere. Nothing's changing in life. We're on. We're just pressing the accelerator because the engine's not connected. It's not activated. It's not in gear. Love's not activating, and then we don't have any forward progress. This is critical, people. I pray, my prayer this morning is that every one of us will walk away with a fresh revelation. If we get out of the love walk for a moment, get back in very quickly. Because the moment you're out of it, you've just opened the door. You've opened the door, and we don't want to give place to the devil. Is that right? So we can give place, because the Bible says don't give place to him. So if we can give place to him, we need to know what we need to do to keep the door closed. We don't want to give place to the enemy in our lives. Amen? All right. Almost done. Galatians 5:22. Oh, you're just there, actually. Just on the same page. Of course, if we've got the Spirit of God in us and if we've got the love of God in us, then the fruit that we produce should be spiritual fruit. Would that make sense? Okay, so if we've got the Spirit of God in us, the love of God residing on the inside of us, then it stands to reason that the fruit that we produce is spiritual. Now look at 22, verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. Got to have love first. If love's not the first fruit, all the other fruit's rotten. It's got to start with love. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, then peace, then long-suffering, then gentleness, then goodness, then faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It's interesting, if you compare those fruit against the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13, they're all very similar. They're all very similar. Love is patient and kind, is long-suffering. It doesn't, you know, take a hold of or the thought to a suffered wrong. It's similar. Of course it is, because that's what comes out of the recreated human spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Against such, there is no law. There's no law against love. In other words, if you walk the love walk continually, the devil cannot enter into your world. He cannot get into your innermost counsel. And I'll tell you something else too, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come. If you want to walk in divine health in your life, hear me, walk in love. Because the moment you get out of love, you are now open to an attack on your body every time. Don't do it, people. Make this the high calling, that you are going to walk the high calling of love. And we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. But don't let the enemy in. Don't hold a grudge in your heart for a moment. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because that's when you give place to an enemy and you'll wake up with a sniffle or a cough or a cold. That's how he plays. And you, how do I get this? Just understand the importance. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll obey me. Well, we love him, do we? Well, of course we love him. But he first loved us. Now, I'm saying this not because you need to hear it. I need to hear it. That's why I'm saying this. I need to hear it. Now, God's taught me a lot about this love walk over the years. And to a large extent, he's allowed me to walk in divine health for many, many, many years of my life. But I know when I get out, I get off it, and it's almost immediately. And I know, and I say, God, show me where I missed it. And of course, straight away, he'll show me. It's a rare occasion that that can get on you when you're walking in love. Very, very rare. This is very powerful, people. But it costs you, because it's got to be gentle and patient and kind and long-suffering, not keeping record of, you know, things that have been done wrong to us. It never gives up. It endures. It's long-suffering. And, of course, it never fails. That's what we are to do. And that's how we're to follow this walk of love all the days of our life. So, of course, only abiding in love can produce a fruit. And we know that from John 15. We're not going to turn there, but Jesus said, if you abide me and my word abides in you, you know, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So abiding in Jesus produces the fruit. Love and fruit bearing are intrinsically linked. We are not wired to hate. I'm going to say it again. We're not wired to hate. It goes against all our spiritual DNA. There's nothing in us that's wired to hate. That's why hate will produce sickness. Sickness and disease in bodies. Hospitals are filled with people that are filled with sickness and disease because hate produces that. We're not wired for that. It's not in our DNA, and we don't want it in our lives. Love, let love be our highest goal. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it there this morning because that's as far as I want to take it. It's now sort of allowing us to move into some new territory about love. We're going to look at the royal law of love next week and just some of the things that the Word is saying about it. But the foundation is definitely laid for us now to build on what God has for us. And I know that God is teaching us much about this subject. This subject is critical to this hour that we're in. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.